Today's shiur is Masechta Me'ila, Davov, and we will begin on Davov Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud with the words Tashma. Our Gemara continues in discussing the issue that we began in yesterday's shiur, which was, at what point of the avoid of a carbon, is the carbon no longer subject to Hilchas Me'ila? And we saw in the previous shiur three different opinions. The first opinion was Hefter Shechita, that at the time of Shechita, the carbon, if the Shechita was done properly, the carbon no longer is subject to Mila. The other opinion was Hefter Zrika, which as we understood means that after the Kabbalas Hadam was done, the carbon is no longer subject to Hilchas Me'ila. And the third opinion that we saw was Heta Achila Sheninu, that after the Zrikas Hadam was done, is the carbon no longer subject to Hilchas Me'ila. And our Gemara continues to try to understand what is the Halacha. Toshma. So Gemara quotes the following Braisa. It says in the Braisa, Rav Shimon Omer, Yesh Noiser She Me'alamba. There are situations where carbon became nicer. The carbon was left over past the permitted time, and the carbon still is subject to Hilchas Me'ila. And there are times where nicer is not subject to Hilchas Me'ila. And the Braisa explains itself. Ketzad, lon lifnei zrika, and here we have a machlokes rishonim. What does that mean? If the dam was long, the sum Rishayim explained, if the dam was left over, lifnei zrika, before the zrika, then mayalim. Even though ultimately zrika was done, since the dam had lina, since the dam became disqualified before that zrika, that means simple situation, that the carbon was offered today, we have the dam of the carbon, and the zrika should have been done today. But instead of the zrika being done today, the zrika is done tomorrow. So that means there was lina, the blood was left over past the time it should have been left over. That's one shot. So if that happened before the zrika, says Rav Shimon Mai Allen, it'll be subject to Hilchas Me'ila. But if la'achas zrika, If the blood was left over after the Zrika, there is no Me'ila. Another pshat is that we're not speaking about the dam, but rather we're speaking about the basar, about the meat of the carbon, and the Mishnah is distinguishing, Rav Shimon is distinguishing, again, if the basar was lon lifnei Zrika or achas Zrika, the loch is Eimayal. So, says the Gemara, Ketanim Yis, however, isn't this Braisa teaching us that Me'alamba, that there is Me'ila, Lav, the Hav, Shos, Lemizrike? And what the Braisa is teaching us is that there was an opportunity to do Zrika properly, and the Braisa is teaching us that if the Zrika was done properly, then it will no longer be subject to Me'ila, and if the Zrika was not done properly, it will be subject to Me'ila. So isn't this Braisa a clear indication that we follow the time, that we follow the Zrika, that it's the Zrika that decides if it is or isn't subject to Hilchas Me'ila? Says the Gemara, no. So again, isn't this a Raya Shmamina, the Heta Achila Shnina, that we follow the time of Zrika? Because the Braisa seems to be saying that as long that the Zrika was done properly, it won't be subject to Mila. And if the Zrika was not done properly, it will be subject to Mila. So ask the Mefarshim, if that's how we're going to understand the Braisa, that the Brice is teaching us that if the Zrika was not done properly, it remains subject to Mila. And if the Brice, and if the Zrika was done properly, it will not be subject to Mila. So we can understand the din, the rule, that if the Zrika was not done properly, the Brice needs to tell us that it's still subject to Mila. But if the Zrika was done properly, so why did the Brice have to teach us that it's not subject to Mila? Obviously, if the Zrika was done properly, the carbon is no longer subject to Mila. So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim why the Brice needs to say it. One is to teach us this very din that we've been discussing, that Zrika is the moment that we look at. Another pshat that I saw is that the Brice is indeed teaching us a Chiddush, because we would have thought that since this carbon ultimately does become disqualified, so even though right now when I did this Zrika it wasn't disqualified, but since it ultimately becomes disqualified, that should be enough of a reason that it should fall back to be subject to Hilchos Mila. So the Brice is teaching us that once a carbon loses its susceptibility to Mila, it remains that way forever. But again, isn't this Brice a clearly indication that we look at the Zrika? Says Merloy, the way to understand the Brice is the Kable Somach Lashkiya Sachama and Doi Hai Shaslam Ezrikei, which means as follows. The Gemara is saying that really we could be following the opinion of Heta Zrika Shnina, and that the defining moment is the Kabbalah. But what happened over here, says the Brisa, is that the Kabbalah was done at the end of the day, right before the Shkia. And since the Kabbalah was done at the end of the day, right before the Shkia, there was no time for the Kabbalah to be done properly, and for the Zrika to be done properly. And the way the Rishonim explains is as follows. Even if we say that Kabbalah had the Zrika Shninu, and that the Kabbalah is the defining moment, as we explained extensively in our previous shiur, the basis of that understanding is because we say Kol Omid Lizrik Kizarik Dami, which means that we have to be able to do a proper Zrika. And therefore, as soon as the Kabbalah was done, and we are able to do a proper Zrika, even though the Zrika wasn't actually done, the halacha is that already takes away the carbon from being able to be subject to the Mila. But if the Kabbalah was done at a time, which is at the end of the day, and if we're gonna, and there's no longer any time to do the Zrika properly, even though the Kabbalah was done properly, it wouldn't make a difference. Such a Kabbalah cannot take away the carbon from being subject to Mila. And that's exactly what happened here, where the Kabbalah was done right before the Shkia. Actually, Tosfos in Masechta Menachos, the Rishonim discuss, that from our Gemara it seems that the last moment when a carbon can be brought is up to the Shkia. And that's why our Gemara is saying that if the carbon was brought prior to the Shkia, if the Kabbalah was done in the last moment before the Shkia, and the Zrika will have to take place after the Shkia, the halacha is that such a carbon will remain subject to Mila. So from here we see, it seems, by say many Rishonim, that the last moment a carbon can be brought is up to the Shkia. There are Rishonim that disagree, and those Rishonim learn that Kabbalah, that Midaraisa, day is until Tseis Kechavim. And since with the Raisa days until Tseis HaKachavim, a carbon could be actually brought until the Tseis HaKachavim. And what the Gemara here means to say is that the carbon is subject to Mila, because Midrabbanon, a carbon should not be brought after Shkia. And if the Kabbalah was done right before the Shkia, then Midrabbanon, you can't do Zrika anymore today, and it will be disqualified and be subject to Mila Derabon. And there's actually a very interesting vart from the Shagas Aryeh, explanation from the Shagas Aryeh, based on what we're saying now. Because the Shagas Aryeh discusses the halacha of Mincha. We know we can only daven Mincha as long as kabbonis could be brought. So if we're going to learn that the carbon, midoraisa, cannot be brought after the shkia, so then mincha certainly cannot be davened after the shkia. But if we're going to learn that midoraisa, a carbon can actually be brought up to tzeis kechavim, it's only midrabanan who said that kabbonis should not be brought after the shkia. It could be, suggests the Shagas Aryeh, that Rabbanan only made that rule as far as the Krov of Kabbonis, but as far as davening, the Rabbanan would agree that you could daven Mincha up to the Tzeis HaKechavim. But then the Mefarshim asked another question. If we're speaking here about a situation where the carbon was brought so late in the day, as we're learning, it's the last minute of the day, that you can't do Zrika. So obviously, the carbon tamid was brought before that. And we know there's a rule of Aleh Hashleim Kol HaKabonis Kulam, that the last carbon that may be brought every day is the carbon tamid. So how could this carbon be acceptable anyway, besides the issue that you did the Kabbalah so late in the day that you won't be able to do the Zrika in a timely fashion? You obviously brought this carbon after you brought the carbon tamid, and as we just quoted, you're not allowed to bring a carbon after the carbon tamid is brought. So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer I saw is that the halacha that you may not bring a carbon after the carbon tamid is only animal kabbonis. The last animal carbon of the day is a carbon tamid. But other oifis, birds, may be brought after the carbon tamid, and this bryce is speaking about an oif, not about a behemoth. Another teretz that I saw is that only l'chatchila may a carbon not be brought after the carbon tamid. But b'di'evid, if a carbon was brought after the carbon tamid, it is acceptable. And that is what's being discussed here. And a third pshat that I saw is that when the Torah says, Allah hashleim kol habanas kulam, that the last carbon that may be brought in any day is the carbon tamid, that's only as far as the haktorah. The last haktorah of any carbon on any day is the carbon tamid. But as far as the other avoid, as long as that's done properly, it doesn't make a difference if anything else is done after the carbon tamid. So what happened over here was that the carbon tamid maybe was brought, but it wasn't yet burnt on the mizbeach, because the burning on the mizbeach, we know, could take place even at night, and therefore there is no violation of Allah Hashleim Kol HaKabonis Kulam. But so we're explaining now the Braisa, that the Braisa is saying that as long as the Kabbalah was done by day, Avohai Shas by, as long as the Kabbalah was done by day, Hachinami Day Ma'alim, there won't be a problem with Me'ilah, because the Kabbalah was done properly. So ask the Gemara if that's what this Braisa means to say. My Iri the Tani Lifnei Zrika, why does the Braisa distinguish between before the Zrika or after the Zrika? Listening, Kodim Shkia Lacha Shkia. The point should be when the Kabbalah was done. If the Kabbalah was done early enough or the Kabbalah was done too late. Answers the Gemara Hachinamik Tani. That's exactly what the Braisa means to say. If the Kabbalah was done, Kodim Shkia Lacha Zrika, the Kabbalah was done very late, that the Zrika will not be able to be done properly, then the carbon remains subject to Milah. L'achashir was Zrika. But if the Kabbalah was done late enough in the day that it will still be able to do the Zrika properly, then the carbon is no longer subject to Milah. So Gemara attempts a different raya. Toshma, Rav Shimon Omer, Yesh Pigel Shemialamba, V'yesh Pigel Shemialamba. By some Kabbalahs which are Pigel, they remain subject to Mila, and some Kabbalahs don't remain subject to Mila. And as the Rishonim immediately point out, obviously this does not agree with the opinion of Rav Gittel that we've learned so much about this week, because Rav Gittel's opinion is that a carbon that's pigel always remains subject to Mila. Ketzad. And the Braisa continues to explain. Lifnei Zrika, if it's before Zrika, me'alim, it remains subject to Mila. Lach Zrika, but if it's after the Zrika, Eme'alim, it's no longer subject to Mila. But makes the Gemara its point. Ketanimius, Lifnei Zrika, Me'alim Ba. That it's before the zrika, it's still subject to mila. Lav to have a shas lemizuki. Now, isn't this brisa referring to a situation where the kabbalah was done at a time where there's still an opportunity to do a proper zrika? The bar is zorik that you could have done a proper zrika, and yet the brisa says v'ktani. Yet the brisa says mayalimba that it's subject to meila. So why, if we hold heter zrika, if we say that all that counts is that the kabbalah should be done properly, isn't this brisa referring to a situation where the kabbalah could have been done properly, and yet the brisa says that it's still subject to mila because it didn't have a zrika, v'shmamina, and that seems to be indication that heter chila shnina, that in order for it to no longer be subject to mila, it has to have azrika, and not Kabbalah alone. So ask the Rishonim the obvious question. We just explained a few moments ago that according to the opinion that holds that if you had a Kabbalah, it's not subject to Mila. Why? Because we have a concept of Kala Omed Lizroi Kizarukam, that since it will now be subject to Azrika, that's good enough that it should be considered like I had Azrika, no longer subject to Mila. Ask the Rishonim that when can we apply the concept of Kala Omed Lizri Kazaruk Dami? We could only apply that concept by a carbon that's not Pigel. But by a carbon that's Pigel, how can we say on such a carbon, Kala Omed Lizri Kazaruk Dami, that it's waiting to have a proper Zrika? How can we say it's waiting to have a proper Zrika if it is a carbon which is Pigel? So, some Rishonim say that if, as we have learned many times, that the zrika of a carbon that's pigel is absolutely essential, because as we've explained so many times, if it doesn't have that, then it in fact wouldn't be pigel. It has to have a zrika in order for it to be pigel. So we could say the concept of kala oimid lizrik kazaruk dami even on a kabbalah of a carbon that's pigel. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach that I saw in the Rishonim, Tosfos says, is that what happened over here is as follows. What, before we go further, what cannot be said as an answer, point out the Rishonim, is that we can't say that the Kabbalah was done when the carbon was not yet pigel, and therefore I could apply the concept of Kabbalah Ayim Elizrik Kazaruk Dami to that type of a Kabbalah. And when did the carbon become pigel? Only later, during the Zrik, during the Halacha, because this brisa follows the opinion of Rav Shimon, and it is the opinion of Rav Shimon that we don't set, it is the opinion of Rav Shimon that a carbon cannot become pigel during the Halacha. And the reason Rav Shimon holds that way is because since the entire avodah of Halacha is not absolutely essential, therefore Rav Shimon holds a carbon doesn't become pigel during the Halacha. And that's also, the Rishonim explain, a reason that in all of the good discussions that we've been having in our shiurim in the previous shiur and today's shiur, there was no man d'amar that said that the carbon loses its susceptibility to pigel during the halacha. Because it can't be that an avoida, which is not even absolutely essential, should be the avoida when the pigel is removed. So we're back to our question. If this Kabbalah is being done on a carbon that's pigel, so then certainly it's a carbon that we can't apply the concept of Kabbalah Oymed Lizrik Kazaruk Dami. So how could there be a mandama that would say that that Kabbalah could take away the Me'ila? So Tosfos says what happened here is as follows. The Kabbalah was begun properly. And since the Kabbalah was done begun properly, that Kabbalah has the ability to take away the susceptibility to Mi'ila. Only later, during the avodah of the Kabbalah, did he have a machshavas pigel. But by then, the Mi'ila susceptibility has already been removed. But again, it seems, says the Gemara, that we're referring to a situation where there was, it seems that we're referring to a situation where there was a Kabbalah And yet the Bryce is saying that that isn't enough to take away the Me'ila. You also have to have a Zrika to take away the Me'ila. Says the Maraloi. The Bryce is referring to a situation to Loi have a Shas Lemizrike. There was no opportunity to do a proper Kabbalah. And as we've been repeating, if there was no opportunity to do a proper Kabbalah, then we can't say to do a proper Zrika, because it was done so late in the day. So we can't apply the concept of Kol Oimer Lizroik to Zorok Dami. And there everybody agrees that the Kabbalah does not remove the susceptibility to Mila. But, says the Gemara, in understanding the Braisa, we're saying now, Avol HaShos LeMizrike, were the Kabbalah done at a time where the Zrika could be done properly, that the Kabbalah would take away the susceptibility to Mila. So ask the Gemara, if that's the point, that it's not when the Kabbalah was done, that's not when the Zrika, if the Zrika was done or not, that makes the difference. What makes the difference is when the Kabbalah was done. Was the Kabbalah done in a time where Zrika still can be done during the day or not? So ask the Gemara, so why does the Braisa speak about why does the Braisa speak about Lachas Rika or Lifteis Rika? The point should be listening Kaidim Shki or Lachas Shki Sachama, when the Kabbalah was done. That should be the point. Answers the Gemara Hakanami Kaim. That's exactly what the Braisa meant. Kaidim Shki Rika, if it was done in right, Lachas Shki or Rika, if it's done in a time where Rika could still be done, or it's done in a time when Rika cannot be done. So again, it's not a raya. Toshima, ask the Gemara for one more Braisa. The Braisa says, Hapigal b'kotche kotchem me'alim. That a carbon that's kotche kotchem, that's pigal, is still subject to Mila. So posh pshat, this Braisa is teaching us the din of Rav Gidl. That even though it had Zrika, Mailav, the Zorak, that even though it had Zrika, and normally the Bryce is saying that Zrika, that's how the Gemara assumes, that it is Zrika which removes the susceptibility to Pigel, but here, since the carbon is Pigel, then it doesn't get removed even though it had a Zrika, which is exactly what Rav Gidl taught us earlier in our Perek so many times, that a carbon which is Pigel, even though it has a Zrika, is not removed from being subject to Mila. My lab de Zorak, isn't it referring to a situation where Zrika took place? And even though the Zrika took place, Vishmamina had the Achilashnina. And the Braisa is teaching us that Zrika is the defining moment, and by this carbon, it doesn't make a difference. So the Ulder Rishonim asked the question, what makes us say that is the way to understand that the Braisa is speaking about that had Zrika? Where in the Braisa does it indicate that? So the Rishonim answer, the fact that the Braisa didn't use the word La'olam, the fact that the Braisa says, yes, Hapigel, the Kotcha Kotcha Me'alim, seems to be that only when it came to the last step, the Zrika, it remained subject to Mila. And the fact that the word La'olam was omitted is what points the Gemara in that Braisa. So it's the Gemara Loi. Now it's talking about the Loi Zorak. There was no Zrika. Abel Zorak. But if there were Zrika, even though the carbon is Pigel, it's no longer subject to Mila. So now what the Gemara is saying is that this Braisa actually disagrees with Rav Gidl. Whereas Rav Gidl said that even if Zrika took place, if the carbon is Pigel, it remains subject to Mila. This Braisa is saying that if it had Zrika, even though it's Pigel, it's no longer subject to Mila. But, on a regular carbon, what is the moment that takes away Mila? When it's not Pigel, it could be indeed Kabbalah. Aval Zorak, Mai, Hakanam Dai Ma'alambal. It could be that if Zrika takes place, then there won't be any Mila. But ask the Gemara if that's the way we're understanding the Braisa. And the Braisa is teaching us that as long as the Zrika took place, it's not subject to Mila, even though it's Pigel. So ask the Gemara, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa continues saying that my ear the time bekatsha kalim and be alimba. It says that even though we know, as we learned and will learn, that kachin kalim until the zrika takes place, it's not subject to mila. And the Gemara is saying here, and the Brisa continues saying that this carbon, which is pigel, and it's, if it's kachin kalim, it will never become subject to mila. Why does the Brisa have to contrast kachin kalim to kachin kachin kachin? We could have made the following contrast: listening kan lefnei zrika, kan lach zrika, and say that a carbon which is kachin kachin is subject to mila until the zrika, and is not subject to mila after zrika. So instead of comparing kachin kachin to kachin kalim, we could have remained discussing kachin kachin and make a distinction before the zrika and after zrika. Answers the Gemara, because the Brisa wants to teach us a chiddush. Ha'as l'shmina. Kol asuil de mila. In order to become subject to mila, zrika ketikna maisa de mila. Only a proper zrika can bring kachin kalim to mila. Kol afuki de mila. I feel it's like a tikna asking me de mila. The Brisa is actually telling us a very big chiddush. And the Brisa is saying as follows. It agrees and disagrees with Rav Gittel. Because to review what Rav Gittel taught us earlier in the Masechta, Rav Gittel told us that a carbon that's pigel, the zrika of kachi kachim of that carbon will not remove it from Hilchas Mila. And on the other hand, Rav Gittel said, the zrika of kachin kalim will not bring it to Mi'ilah. Teaches us the Gemara that indeed this Brisa agrees with the part that Rav Gittel said, that if a carbon is kachin kalim and it's pigel, its zrika cannot bring it to Mi'ilah. But it disagrees with Rav Gittel. And Rav Gittel said that by kachin kachim, if it's pigel and it had zrika, it will still remain subject to Mi'ilah. And here teaches us the Gemara that no, that even though it's pigel, once it had zrika, that zrika, even though it's pigel, takes away from mila. And the Mefarshim explain why. Here, and they say a concept. The concept they say is it's easier to break something than to make something. So carbon, which kachi kachim, which is subject to hilchas mila, it's easy to break that susceptibility. And as soon as it has zrika, albeit that this carbon is pigo, it will no longer be subject to mila. But kachi kalim, to bring it into the category of kachi Hashem, and to bring it into the category that it should be subject to mila, there, if the carbon is pigo, that zrika cannot bring it into that category. And there's a fascinating word for Rabbi Yosef Engel based on this concept. We all know the halacha that if you have three pieces of meat, two are kosher, one is not, and the non-kosher meat gets mixed up with the kosher meat and becomes batel b'issur. But the Rishonim already discuss what happens if you have three pieces of meat, two are not kosher and one is kosher, and the kosher meat gets mixed into the non-kosher meat. Does the non-kosher meat have a full-fledged din? Doesn't this entire taruvus have a din of Issur? It's not so simple. Some Rishonim say it's only lach balach if it was liquids, not solids. The Rishonim are not that clear that it should become all considered non-kosher. Of course, the halacha is you're not allowed to eat anything from this mixture. Nobody should make that error. But the question as far as Malkus is concerned are other repercussions. And of course the obvious question, which Rabbi Yosef Engel and all the Achronim ask, is if there's a concept of bittul, there should be no difference if non-kosher meat falls into kosher meat or kosher meat falls into non-kosher meat. So Rabbi Yosef Engel explains. He says, every time we have a situation of a taruvus, every time we have a situation of bittul, actually two things happen. The minority becomes bottle to the majority, and it then should or should not perhaps obtain the same identity as the majority. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, the fallback position of everything in the world is that it's mutter. Isser is a chiddush. So he says as follows. If I have Isser falling into heter, and the majority is heter, so the minority could fall back to the standard, to what everything is normally. And everything is normally heter. But if you have heter falling into Isser, that bittel should accomplish that something that's mutter should now become Isser. Given that everything is normally considered heter, that can't happen through bittel. And he says the raya is Al Gemara. Al Gemara is saying to make something no longer Isser. Al Gemara is teaching us that something kachi was till now susceptible to Mila. But now that they had a Zrika, even though they're pigle, that's easy to make it mutter and not be susceptible to Mila. But to take kachi kalim that till now were not susceptible to Mila and make them susceptible to Mila if they're pigle with that Zrika, that's much more difficult to do. And therefore the Gemara says it's not doable if the Zrika was done on a carbon which is pigle. Says the Mishnah. If the Basar Kachi Kachim were removed from the Azara before the Zrika Sadam, that carbon, that meat will remain also from Mila. The Zrika of that carbon will not make it, the Zrika of that carbon cannot make it subject to take away the susceptibility to Mila. Why? Because the carbon became disqualified. It's outside the Azara. And Zrika could only be effective, says Rebbe Lezer, on a carbon that, Zrika could only be effective on a carbon that had, that's not possible. But here, since the carbon is possible, so it, that Zrika cannot take away its susceptibility to Me'ila. And furthermore, Ve'en Chayavim Lo Mishum Pigel, because as we've learned so many times, the only time there could be an Isser Pigel is when the carbon has no other disqualification. This carbon has another disqualification, the fact that it's Pigel. The carbon also has, cannot be subject to Neusser, because again, when is there an Isser Neusser? The Isser Neusser is only on a carbon that may be eaten, and then it was left over past its proper time. But this carbon may not be eaten, because it was Yotze, it went out of the Azara, and furthermore, there is no Isser Tumah. For again, explained the Rishonim, when is there an Isser Tumah? The Isser Tumah is only on a carbon that a Tohar may eat, but this carbon may not be eaten because it's Yotze. So carbon that's Yotze, even a Tohar can't eat, so there is no Isser Tumah. So Taisus, again, in trying to understand this Mishnah and Rebbe Lezer's opinion, tries to understand in light of the issue that we just discussed in the previous sugya, what is the moment that takes away the susceptibility for Mila? Is it the Shechita or the Kabbalah or the Zrika? So according to the Man D'Amar that it's the Zrika, that the Achila Shanina, this Mishnah is very understandable. That what happened here was that the carbon was taken out, the meat was taken out from the Azara before the Zrika. And since the meat was taken out before the Zrika says Rebbe Lezer can no longer take this meat and make it not subject to Hilchos Mila. According to the Man D'Amar that Kabbalah is the moment, we again could understand that the meat was taken out before Kabbalah Sadam. And therefore, since the meat was taken out before the Kabbalah Sadam, it will remain subject to Hilchos Mila. But as Tosfos, according to the Man D'Amar, that it's had the Shechita Shaninu, so obviously this carbon was slaughtered in the Azara. And that opinion that holds had the Shechita Shaninu is of the opinion as soon as the Shechita was done properly, this carbon is no longer subject to Mila. So as Tosfos, if so, how do we understand Rebbe Lezer's opinion? According to the Man D'Amar that holds had the Shechita Shaninu. So the way Tosfos and Rishonim explain, they're going to have to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the carbon was the animal was standing during the Shechita right by the border between the Azara and outside the Azara. Some Rishonim suggest that not only was it standing that way, but part of its leg was, part of the body was already outside of the Azara. So when do we say the concept of Heter Shechita Sheninu? We only say it in a case where after the Shechita you could have had a proper Kabbalah and a proper Halacha. Here, since this Shechita was done in a way where it was destined to be taken out immediately after the Shechita, so could not have led to a proper Kabbalah and a proper Zrika, there we don't say Heter Shechita Sheninu, and that's why it remains subject, says Rabbi Elazar, to Hilchos Milah. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva says, Eimei Alamban, it's not subject to Milah. Why is it not subject to Milah? That the Zrika, even though the meat was taken out of the Azara, the Zrika could still take off the Hilchos Milah from this meat. And I saw that Achronim tried to understand why. One explanation that they explain is that there's a concept of tzitz meratza, ala yoytzin, that the tzitz that was worn by the Kohen Gadol affects kapara, that if carbon was taken out of the Azara and it's put on the Mizbeach, the halacha is im olu lo yeridu. Therefore, since the tzitz has that ability, it also has the ability that it should take away the Isser Mi'ila after the Zrika. Another pshat that I saw that Achroinim explain is that they suggest that the Isser Yoitza is not a disqualification in the meat itself. It's a disqualification in the... It's a technical disqualification, that the meat finds itself in a place where it's not allowed to be. When does a carbon, says Rabbi Akiva, remain subject to Hilchos Mi'ilah, even though when the disqualification is inherent to the carbon itself? But when the disqualification is not in the basur itself, but the disqualification is only a side disqualification that's yotze, that it finds itself in the wrong place, then the zrika could take off the isim ila from such a carbon. But as Reb Chaim Brisker points out, even though the isim ila will be removed, that doesn't mean that you can eat this basur. Of course you can't eat this basur because it was yotze. What Reb Chaim explains is that the issue of mi'ila and the issue of permissibility to eat the meat do not travel together. Rather, the only factor to take into consideration if it is or isn't subject to mi'ila, says Reb Chaim, is if the avoda was or wasn't done. And as soon as the avoda was done, the halacha is that as soon as the avoda was done, the halacha is that it's no longer subject to mila. Furthermore, says Tosfos, and according to the explanation that we just gave a few moments ago, Tosfos is very understandable. Even Rabbi Akiva, who says that this basar became possible because it was yotze, still the zrika will take away the issa mila from that basar, says Tosfos, that's only on this issa that's being discussed in our Mishnah, this yotze, because way we understood, this yotze is a much weaker isser because it's not inherent to the carbon itself, and therefore the zrika can remove it. The other isurim, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that the isser, that the zrika cannot take away from a carbon from basar that's disqualified the isser mila. Furthermore, says Rabbi Akiva, that chayav olam shempigel v'noyse v'tamei, and the Achroinim I saw, the stipler, the Mechitz Chinuch discussed, how can we say meat that's also to be eaten because with Yotze is subject to Neisser? Neisser, isn't the definition of Neisser that you were allowed to eat the meat and then you left it over past the time you were allowed to eat it? But this meat you were never allowed to eat. It was Yotze. So I saw the stipler says, a gewalde gewort. The stipler says that we're used to understanding that Neisser depends if you were allowed to eat it or not allowed to eat it. He says, our Mishnah, at least Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, says the stipler is teaching us that what makes something susceptible to Neisser or not, subject to Hilchos Neisser, is a different factor altogether. And the factor to be taken into consideration is, did it have, were all of the mitzvah, was it processed properly or not? And since we're saying now that the zrika on a bus that's yoitza, Rav Kiva's chiddush is that it's a good zrika. Therefore, if it's a good zrika, it could bring it to Hilchos Noiser as well. There is another question that the Mefarshim discuss, that even if we'll say, why don't we have here an issue of Enes Achala Issa? That once this Basar is Issa Yotze, it should have there should be an issue of Enes Achala Issa, and that's why it shouldn't be subject to Pigel Noiser V'Tame. And the way, we don't have time to go into all the details, but the way the Rishonim and Achronim try to explain is that here it's going to be, as we discussed in Masechta Krisis, either an Isser Maisif or an Isser Kailul, and by Isser Maisif or Isser Kailul we do say Isser Kailul Isser. Another text that I saw from the Chazon Ish, the Stipler quotes the Chazon Ish, is that we learned that even if you hold Ein Isser Kailul Isser, if the second Isser is an Isser Kareis, and the first Isser was not an Isser Kareis, then we say Isser Chalal Isser. Isser Pigel Noiser is Isser Kareis, whereas Isser Yotzeg is not an Isser Kareis, and therefore we could say Isser Chalal Isser. And Rabbi Kiva supports his point. On Rabbi Kiva, V'rei Mafish Chatosu V'Avda, if somebody designates an animal to come Chatos and it gets lost, V'Fish Acheres Tachten, then he designates another animal, V'Akach Nimtzes Rishoyna, and now he finds both animals, V'rei Shtein Oindus, and both animals are now here, and he chooses to do the avoida with one of the animal, like the shem shem dama paitis psara, just like the zrika of the dam of the animal that was decided to be used as the carbon will take that animal out of hilchos mila, kachu paitis b'sar chaverta, the other carbon, the other animal will have the same rule. So, says Rav Kiva, in Poiter Domes B'sar Chaverta Menila, if Zrika of one animal could affect the status of Me'ila of the other animal, certainly, Dinu Shiftas Basa Atzma, the Zrika of this carbon could take out all of the meat of that carbon from being subject to Me'ila. And therefore, even though, says Rav Kiva, this meat was taken out of the Azara, the Zrika could still take it out from Mila. Rabbi Lezer, explained Achroinim, disagrees. Because Rabbi Lezer says, by two carbon chatos, the animal that was not used ultimately as the carbon chatos, says Rabbi Lezer, was never a carbon, and therefore was never subject to Mila, and therefore will not be subject to Mila. It was retroactively now understand that this was never a carbon. If it's not a carbon, it's not subject to Mila. This Basa, that's Yotzei, is part of a carbon. And if it's part of a carbon, it's obviously subject to Mila. Ask Rav Cheskel Abramsky that in this case, when you did the Zrika, as soon as you did the Zrika, the halacha is, in the case where you have two kabbonis, both kabbonis were kosher b'shas zrika. Only after the zrika does the first carbon become obvious that it's not a carbon. But in our case, the basar that was taken out from the azar before the zrika, when the zrika is taking place, it's already disqualified. So how can we compare the two situations? Here, the carbon, when we have the two animals, the first animal wasn't disqualified during the time of Zrika. By Yotzi, this piece of meat was disqualified during the time of Zrika. Answers Rav Cheskel Abramsky, that's not true. That even when we have two animals, the moment the dam of one animal is removed to be used for the Zrika, at that moment, the first animal is no longer a kosher carbon. And yet we see, so it becomes already disqualified at that moment, and still the Zrika of the other carbon helps to take the first animal out of the din of Me'ila. So too, says Rav Kiva, should be in our case. And now the Gemara says the opposite. We've been learning that Kotch Kalim, after Zrika, the Emirim of the Kotch Kalim becomes subject to Hilchus Mi'ilah. Says the Mishnah, Emir Kotch Kalim, Shiyotz Lufnei Zrika Stamim, there won't be Mi'ilah, because they became disqualified, because they were taken out before the Zrika Stam, and Me'en Chayav Olam Mishum Pigal Nois V'tameh. Rav Kiva Emir, this Zrika, we just learned is a Zrika that could take out Kotcha Kotchim from being subject to Mila. It also is a Zrika that could bring Kotchim Kalim to Zrika, to Mila. And therefore, this Zrika will, even though the Emrim were taken out before the Zrika, my Alam Behem will still bring Mila, the din of Mila to the Emrim. The Chayav Olam Shem Pigal Nois V'Tameh, and they'll be Chayav Bikur Pigal Nois V'Tameh, because it's considered a Zrika to bring these halachas. Ask them about any tati lamali. We've had actually the machloikis of Akiva and Belezer twice in our Mishnah, by Kotcha Kotcha, by Kotcha Kalim, and it's really the exact same point, where it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that the Zrika, even though the carbon was taken out, doesn't get adversely affected, and it is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar that it does make a difference. So why do we have to say the same machloikas twice? Fahani tarti lomeli. Answer, Gemara Tzrichi. Dikn b'kotcha kotchim, if we only had the Mishnah speaking about kotcha kotchim, b'ha omer Rabbi Elazar ma'alamba. That's where Rabbi Elazar says that it remains subject to Mi'ilah. Mishum Zrika could take the mask with a Mi'ilah. A Zrika that's done properly takes out a carbon from being subject to Mi'ilah. But shalaika tikna, if the Zrika wasn't done properly, because, for example, in our case, where the meat was taken out of the Azara, loy mafka v'dei Mila doesn't have the ability to take it away from being subject to Mila. Avala suila de Mila, but to create a chumra, as Rashi explains, there suggests the Gemara, Meidler b'kiva, that feelish like a tikna, maisa de Mila, that even if this Rika wasn't done properly, to create a chumra, that it should be susceptible to Mila, there Rabbi Lezer will agree with Rabbi Kiva, that we go l'chumra. V'yitma gaba kotcha kalim, and if the Mishnah would have said it to din by kotcha kalim, have mina kotcha kalim om Rabbi Kiva my alam bab. Rabbi Kiva only says it's din by kotcha kalim because it represents a chumra. That feels rikish like a tikna maisa de mila. That even an improper zrika could bring mila. Ava kotcha kotchim de lefukihu, but by kotcha kotchim we were trying to break its susceptibility to mila. Shloi tekikna loy mafka de mila, an improper zrika cannot bring mila, an improper zrika cannot take it away from susceptibility to mila. Kamash Malon, that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva say their dinim, their hold of their opinion, whether it represents a kula or a chumra. So Tosfos asks a gevaldige kasha. We end our shir just the opposite with the way we began our shir. We began our shir, as Tosfos, saying that it's easier to break Mi'ilah than create Mi'ilah. And here the Gemara is saying just the opposite, that it may be easier to bring Kotchim Kalim to susceptibility than to remove Kotchim Kalim from susceptibility. How do we understand this Gemara? Isn't it just the opposite? So Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Peretz that it makes a difference what is the psul. In the first part of our shiur, we were speaking about a disqualified zrika because the carbon was pigel. And the zrika of a carbon that's pigel is not considered a proper zrika. So since it's not considered a proper zrika, that's why the Gemara said such a zrika cannot bring a carbon to Mila, but it can take away a carbon from being subject to Mila. Here in our Gemara, as we keep on stressing, we're not speaking about a disqualification in the Zrika. We're speaking about a disqualification in the meat, that the meat was Yoitza. There, it could be that since the disqualification is not in the Zrika itself, the disqualification is rather in the Basar, it'll be easier to bring Kotchim Kalim to being subject to Mi'ilah than to take Kotchim Kotchim out of the parish of Mi'ilah. But the Gemara ends that no, Rabbi Kiva holds that the Zrika of this carbon is considered a full-fledged Zrika, and therefore brings Kachim Kalim to Mila, and it takes Kachim Kachim out of Mila, and Beleza holds that this Zrika doesn't have that strength, and therefore Kachim Kachim remains subject to Mila, and Kachim Kalim do not become subject to Mila.